Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome, everybody, in to the Adam Carriker Show. The dawn of a new era, day number 5, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Monday following the stomping of the mud hole of the, it sounds bad, but you know what I mean. Stomping a mud hole in the Colorado Buffalo's keister and walking it dry. It was a great win on Saturday for Nebraska. It was a great momentum win. It was a great win over a so-called rival. It was a phenomenal atmosphere. This is the game that everyone's been pointing to basically since the season ended last year. Husker fans wanted to win this game. Oh, man. It probably that Miami game in 2014. As badly, they wanted to win this game as badly as that Miami game in 2014, because finally, Miami had to come to Lincoln. It wasn't in December or November, but, you know, we'll take it. And we took it then, and we took it to them, and we took it to Colorado on Saturday. The Adam Carriker Show, ladies and gentlemen, every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, live in studio, noon to 1 p.m. Central. Time, grab your lunch, come join myself, Jake. Here's what you're going to get on this show. You're going to get unique insights, unbridled honesty, and we'll have un poquito amount of fun along the way, to a whole lot of fun along the way as well. Today, we're going to look back and we're going to break down that Colorado game. We're going to put a button on it, a bow on it, a ribbon on it. We're going to enjoy it. My wife's like, why don't you start looking ahead to the next game? Well, because I want to talk about Colorado first, and we'll get to Northern Iowa. Don't overlook Northern Iowa like Notre Dame did Northern Illinois. Don't make that mistake, but we'll get there all in due time. So we're going to break down the Colorado game, give some thoughts. We're going to react to Matt Rhule's press conference. The press conference is actually going on right now as we speak. All right, we got some fine folks, some experts behind the scenes. Jake, who's going to be giving me the highlights, all right, from that press conference. And we're going to talk about that hopefully at 12:30, if not 12:45. And also, we're going to break down the big games from this past weekend in college football briefly. We'll do it more in detail tomorrow. All right, Texas. I said take them 7+. My Lord, Michigan, how the mighty have fallen, and it is disgusting to watch how good Texas is. Notre Dame says, hey, we'll take that big win, and then we'll give it right back because we're going to beat A&M on the road and lose to a 4-touchdown underdog Northern Illinois team at home. That's why I love college football. At some point, you got to kick the ball off, and that ball it does funny things. It's why college football is the greatest sport under God's hot sun. All right, Oregon. Man, 2 weeks in a row, they did not look great. I do think Boise State's a really good team. I predicted them to be the G5 team that gets in the playoff. And if they are, they have shown they can play with the top 10 team. All right. Man, Tennessee just absolutely decimated North Carolina State. One of the few ranked matchups this weekend. You had Texas, Michigan, and really the other matchup between two ranked teams with Tennessee, NC State. Why does the ACC even still exist? All right, let's see what else we got as far as top matchups here. There was one more. There's two more. I don't know if it's a top matchup, but I just want to talk about Iowa losing. So Iowa, who will no longer be ranked, Nebraska is ranked if you didn't know, lost to their in-state rival, Iowa State. All right, and then Kansas. I was actually rooting for Kansas. I like it when the basketball schools are good at football. Kansas, North Carolina, Kentucky, although Kentucky's not been great basketball lately, but they're definitely still a blue blood. Kansas, with 18 returning starters, the ranked Jayhawks go in, and this is why it matters. They go into Champaign, the city, not the drink, and they lose to Illinois with the S is silent, our opponent on a Friday night. the 400th consecutive sellout in 2 weeks. We could have a 3-0 Nebraska versus a 3-0 Illinois on that night. Okay, but we'll get into those games a little bit more later on. Nebraska's victory over Colorado, all right, marked the Huskers' 50th win in the series. Nebraska now holds a 50-21-2 all-time edge in the series, including a 27-9 record in Lincoln. Nebraska's 18-point victory marked its largest victory over Colorado since a 45-7 drubbing in 2010. Nebraska limited Colorado to 16 rush yards. There was a point in the game where Colorado was averaging negative 2 yards per rush. And then about 5 minutes later, Colorado was legit averaging negative 1 yards per play, pass or rush. What a performance by the Blackshirts. All right, Nebraska limited the Blackshirts, I should say, limited Colorado to 16 rushing yards. Is it bad that I'm disappointed they got in the positive department? All right, including 6 sacks for 41 yards and losses. This marks the 10th time in 14 games under head coach Matt Rhule. The Huskers have limited the opposition to fewer than 100 yards rushing, including 7 games with 75 or fewer yards. Colorado's 16 rushing yards are the fewest by a Nebraska opponent since Purdue was held to -2 rushing yards in 2020. The oh-so-fondly remembered COVID season. All right, Nebraska held Colorado to 10 points, marking the 9th consecutive opponent the Huskers have limited to 24 points or less. This is the longest stretch Nebraska has limited their opposition to 24 or less since a 14-game stretch. You might remember this defense, spanning back to 2009-2010. Crick, Sue, David, Amukamara, what a defense that was. All right, Nebraska has held each of its past 6 opponents in Memorial Stadium to 14 or fewer points. Nebraska held Colorado and their offense to 260 total yards, marking its 9th consecutive opponent to gain less than 400 yards. The last time Nebraska held opponents to this many opponents to less than 400 yards for 9 straight games with a 14-game stretch spanning the final 3 games of 2008 and the first 11 games of 2009. Cornerback Tommy Hill intercepted, all right, the play of the game, in my opinion, and it kind of just looked like Shadur threw it right to him. I still don't know what he was thinking, talking about Shadur, and Tommy just kind of caught it and basically walked in. You see the photo of that interception. It's an extremely athletic play. I mean, he's hopping high in the air. He's contorting his body. It's a great catch. It looks way more difficult when you see the actual photo than when you just watch it, whether it be on the big screen in the stadium or on your television at home. All right, Hill intercepted the CU pass and returned to 7 yards for a touchdown to give Nebraska the 14-0 lead in the second quarter. It was Hill's 5th career INT and his first interception return for a touchdown. Hill's pick 6 was the first for Nebraska since Cam Taylor-Britt had a 38-yard interception return for a touchdown against Iowa, our good buddies, in 2019. It marked Nebraska's first defensive touchdown since 2020, which was a Deontay Williams fumble return for a touchdown versus Penn State, and marked the 2nd straight week the Husker defense has scored after recording a safety versus UTEP. That's one of the things Tony White wanted to do better this year: force more turnovers and score on defense. 2 weeks in a row, the Blackshirts have put points on the board. The safety in week 1 versus UTEP, the pick 6 versus Colorado. All right, Brian Buscini, our field goal kicking game is so up in the air right now. Special teams needs to get better. All right, and I pointed out on my show, The Character Chronicles, areas that we need to improve on. I did forget to mention, Buscini actually had a pretty good day, and I'm curious to see what he can do this year, because he's got all the ability in the world as a punter. I should mention Nebraska also blocked a field goal. Okay. We had the block punt. We allowed the long kickoff return. Okay. The 37-yard line early in the first quarter. Obviously, we missed the field goal. But Brian Buscini had a pretty good day. He had a 60-yard punt down at the Colorado 2-yard line in the second quarter, which resulted in Nebraska's aforementioned pick six by Tommy Hill. All right. The 60-yard punt was the 5th of Brian Buscini's Nebraska career. So far, Buscini finished the night with a 50.8-yard average on 5 punts. Something in special teams is going right so far, and that's good to see. Nebraska blocked a 2nd-quarter Colorado field goal, marking Nebraska's 5th blocked kick in the past 2 seasons, including 4 field goals and 1 punt. Ty Robinson has been a stud so far this year. And he's absolutely one of my favorite players on the team. And I was asked this. I was asked by people, Adam, how can you have favorites? Well, I can absolutely have favorites. These are not my children, and I will not apologize for having favorites on the team, especially when it's a dominant, humble, hardworking defensive lineman, black shirt, single-digit number wear, all in one player. Defensive lineman Ty Robinson was credited with the field goal block, his second in the past three games. Iowa, the last game of last year, and Colorado on Saturday are the two games. All right, UTEP's sandwiched in the middle. All he did was cause the safety against UTEP. All right, Robinson also had a PBU on the game's opening play and a 9-yard sack. First two games, he has two sacks, one in each game so far. All right, and that sack on Saturday happened in the third snap of the game. Just FYI, today, the captains for Colorado's game was Bryce Benhart, Jamal Banks, Ty Robinson. And this one actually stood out to me. Because who's going to stand out at that other corner spot in the secondary opposite Tommy Hill? Marquise Buford was a captain for Saturday's game. I think that means something. All right, Nebraska jumped out early, 14-0 in the first quarter, and really just dominated. Okay, Colorado had four rushes for negative 27 rushing yards in the first quarter. All right, meanwhile, Nebraska was averaging 7.1 yards per carry right out the gate. Nebraska had 103 total yards on 19 plays after the first quarter. Colorado had minus 2 yards on 11 plays. Nebraska dominated the time of possession, 10-22 to 4-38 after one. The lead at halftime was 28-0.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow and Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Now, the total yards actually was in favor of Colorado in the second quarter. They had 114 total yards. Nebraska had 110, but Nebraska, you know, they had a lot more points on the board at that point. Now, in the third quarter, CU ran the ball twice for 0 yards, so I guess that's an upgrade for them at that point anyways. Meanwhile, Nebraska ran the ball 9 times for 50 yards, averaging just over 5 yards per carry in the third quarter, and they really dominated the time of possession again, 9:30 to 5:30. Okay, now I should point out, the second half, Nebraska didn't score a point. I do have to look at Marcus Satterfield's play calling. Got way too conservative. I don't know. You come out so hot as a team. You come out on fire. You come out just dominating in a game that people have looked forward to for basically like 11 months. Dominating your so-called rival who just runs their mouth all the time and they ain't got nothing to say. Although Deion Sanders got up the next morning, took a picture of him walking around the pregame and had the cojones to put that out on social media. I almost respect the lunacy behind that, almost. But in the second half, all right, I do want to point one thing out before I get to the second half. Dylan Raiola was 23 of 30, which is a 76.7. So if you're around 77% completion percentage, of his 7 incompletions, Jake, of his 7 incompletions, how many were on him? Because Nebraska's receivers dropped at least 3 balls, maybe more. Like they were in their hands. And I'm not saying the receivers had a bad night. But there was a drop touchdown pass, okay, at one point early in the first half. I won't put that player's name out there. And there was another couple of times where it was in the receiver's hands. He might have been 26 or 27 out of 30 if they catch those. How many drops did they have? Do we have a stat on that? I got every other stat under God's hot sun. Do we have that stat?
I don't have that stat in front of me, no. But, yeah, I mean, to be fair, though, there was the touchdown catch that he did get that could have been an interception.
That was so Ramir Johnson. Is that is fair, yes. Yeah. That is a good point. All right. So So we did get outscored 3-0 in the third quarter, outscored 10-0 in the second half. Part of that is conservative play calling. Part of that is you come out so hot, you get such a big lead. It's almost hard to avoid a letdown. And then you realize you only play 12 games a year and you do all this work for 12 Saturday afternoons or one Friday evening in a year. Actually, two Fridays if you play for Nebraska, Black Friday, and then the Illinois game. There's no excuse for a letdown. Okay, the play calling got conservative. There was a little bit of a letdown. Nebraska, how can you complain? 2-0, ranked for the first time in half a decade. Got no complaints. Areas to improve on, though. Special teams, second half play calling, and they have yet to put together four full quarters. If you think about the first two games of the eight quarters, they've actually played five really good quarters. Three in game one, two in game two. That's just over 50%. Imagine if they just bat 75% or 80 or put together a whole game. Imagine what this team could potentially be capable of. It's hard not to be proud of what they've done so far. But if you're not trying to get better, you're getting worse. You never stay the same. So I guarantee Matt Rhule's talking to his team about this as well. All right. Let's see. We got a few minutes here left before we go to break. So I've talked multiple times about the experience up front in the offensive line. And the defensive line dominated Colorado's O-line. The pass rush dominated. We had free blitzers just about any time they wanted. Anytime Tony White and the black shirts wanted to get pressure on Shadur, there was at least one guy coming free. Our offensive line played really, really well the first half. Everything cooled off on offense the second half. But here's the experience that we have up front. Bryce Benhart has started 42 games in his career, 158 total starts for the entire offensive line, good for top five in the entire country. Bryce Benhart, actually 43 now. Okay, Turner Corcoran has started 33 games. Ben Scott is in his third straight season of starting, second for Nebraska. He started Arizona State before he came to the Huskers. Micah Mazzucca started 23 games for three different schools in three different Power Four conferences. We're going to pretend the Big 12 is as good as the Big 10 and SEC, but he started in the SEC for Florida, starting in the Big 10 for Nebraska, and started in the Big 12 for Baylor, where he actually was graded out by Pro Football Focus as the second best run blocking guard in the entire conference 2 years ago. All right. Justin Evans Jenkins has got seven starts, Henry Natowski four, Joey Mancina one. There is experience all across the board on this offensive line. And I look at the offensive line, how well they played in the first half, and I say, hey, you are too experienced to have a letdown in the second half. Okay, to be clear, I got nothing but excitement and love and respect and happiness for being 2-0 and how they played so far. Just got to put it together more than 5 out of 8 quarters. All right. There's a couple other things that happened on Saturday that were pretty cool, if you missed it. The 1994 National Championship team returned to Lincoln. They were honored throughout the game. They actually lined the red carpet during the tunnel walk. As I'm walking into the stadium, this big guy with glasses comes up behind me. Hey, how you getting in the stadium? I turn around. Rob Zadik is way smarter than that. I'm terrible at impressions. I'm sorry, Dr. Rob. It was Dr. Rob. So we chatted for a little bit. At some point, he's going to come on my show. I'll come on his show. He does a phenomenal job. Doc, check it out. All right. But he's like, yeah, man, we're going to be right there during the tunnel walk. And he was pretty pumped about that. It was like he was getting ready to do the tunnel walk all over again. So that was pretty cool to see. All right. Now, 1994, the Huskers earned the first of Coach Tom Osborne's three national championships as a head coach. He's actually part of five. Don't forget, 70-71, he was an offensive coordinator. Three as a head coach. Posted a 13-0 record. Their biggest regular season victory in 1994 was against our good buddies and pretend rivals, Colorado. They led that game at 24-0. The final score was 24-7. 2-3 matchup. After that game, Nebraska actually vaulted to number one in the country. Okay. And as many of you fine folks, I'm sure know, Nebraska clinched the 1994 National Championship with a 24-7 victory over the number three Miami Hurricanes in the Orange Bowl. And my former coach, Frank Solich, all right, he received College Football Hall of Fame campus salute. He was honored throughout the game as well. There was a picture of him and Coach Osborne, a bunch of the 94 guys around him as well. Grant Wistrom, a bunch of those guys. All right, he was recognized on the field during the first half against Colorado as a representative of the College Football Hall of Fame. Coach Solich, I still remember him and George Darlington. George Darlington was my recruiter. Coach Solich was in my house once. And when I was growing up, I was responsible for supper every Sunday night. Starting my freshman year of high school, my parents wanted me to start to learn how to cook for myself. They were kind of successful. By the time I got to college and I was out of the dorms, first meal I ever made was 32 slices of bacon on a plate. And I put as much grease as I possibly could in there. And I thought it was phenomenal. And then I tended to eat a lot of Eggos, who are still delicious to me to this day. But so my parents semi-succeeded. But my point is simply this. Every Sunday night, starting my freshman year, for 4 years, I was in charge of supper on Sunday night. And I love breakfast. I would inevitably just make breakfast. So I can make just about any breakfast you want. Almost. Okay. And Coach Solich, Coach Darlington were on a recruiting visit to my house on a Sunday night. So, of course, I was in charge. All right. And so they ended up eating, you know, bacon, eggs, pancakes, all this stuff that I made. And I'll never forget just sitting there, because I wasn't the best cook at the time. And I remember thinking to myself, this is a recruiting visit. They're trying to be nice to me. I know I'm not that good a cook. Are they going to say that they actually like my food? Or what are they going to do here? Coach Solich, the College Football Hall of Famer that he is, looked at me, smiled, and he said, Adam, you're doing good, but it's a work in progress. And I love that. I love the honesty, and I became much more interested in Nebraska at that very moment. The honesty, the risk he took, that could turn somebody off. For me, it enticed me because it's like, this man's going to be honest with me. He's going to force me to be better at football and cooking, and I like that. All right, Coach Solich spent 6 seasons as Nebraska's head coach from 98 to 2003. Compiled a 58-19 record with the Huskers. He served as an assistant coach. I think people forget how long he was here. Not only a fullback, okay, for 4 or 5 years, but also an assistant coach for nearly 2 decades, and was on the coaching staff for those 3 national championship teams under Coach Tom Osborne. All right, as many of you know, he went on to serve as the head coach at Ohio for 16 seasons from 2006 to 2021, winning 115 games for the Bobcats. And their field there at Ohio Stadium is also named after Coach Frank Solich. All right, we're going to head to break here in just a minute, but Nebraska is 2-0 following their victories over Colorado and UTEP. They are ranked 23rd in the Associated Press poll, 24th in the USA Today coaches poll. The national ranking is Nebraska's first since 2019. The Huskers were ranked number 25 in both polls after that season opener, but unfortunately lost the following week. The last time Nebraska was ranked higher than this week's number 23 AP ranking was in 2016, when Nebraska was ranked 17th, entering the regular season finale versus Iowa. One of the key reasons Nebraska is playing so much better than a year ago is the turnover margin. All right, multiple takeaways by the Black Shirts in consecutive games. It marks the first time the Husker defense has accomplished that. This is kind of a sad stat to read. It's encouraging for now, but sad for the past 5 years. It's the first time Nebraska's defense, the Blackshirts, have accomplished that since 2020, when Nebraska had multiple takeaways against Northwestern and Penn State in back-to-back games. This is the first time Nebraska's had a positive turnover margin in consecutive games since the first 2 games of the 2022 season, when the Huskers had a +1 turnover margin and a +3 turnover margin versus Wisconsin and Iowa, respectively, in those consecutive games. One last thought. Then we'll head to break, and we'll talk about Matt Rhule's press conference, what he had to say. We'll break down that knowledge, and we'll talk about a little bit of national college football. All right. But a win on Saturday over Northern Iowa would give Nebraska a perfect 3-0 record in non-conference play. Nebraska last went undefeated in non-conference play in 2016, and since 2000, also posted non-conference perfect records in 2001, 2003, 2005, 2010, 11, and 14. Nebraska's defense, I already read that stat. I don't know why it's down here twice. So basically, Nebraska's defense is playing the best football we've seen since 2009. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Adam Carriker Show. Grab your lunch. Come join me 4 days a week, noon to one. Unique insights. Unbridled honesty, and we'll have a whole lot of fun in the process. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen.